Does Monday at the office feel like a storm? Not with Microsoft Copilot. That feeling when Copilot gets everyone up to speed instantly? It's sunny again. When Copilot simplifies complex data so your teams can act, that sun's shining on a beach. And when Copilot uncovers hidden insights, you're on that beach with your people and you find buried treasure. That's Microsoft Copilot. Learn more at Microsoft.com/AI for all.
Getting engaged is a moment worth cherishing. A one-of-a-kind ring that you design at Blue Nile can help your love sparkle. Just choose your diamond and setting. When you've found the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Finding the right engagement ring can be nerve-wracking. At Blue Nile, you'll have the expert guidance needed and a diamond guarantee that ensures you're getting the highest quality at the best price. Cherish all of life's moments and save up to 30% at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Good evening. Welcome to an episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. Well, you will probably be hearing this about 20 or 30 minutes after we record, but the big news is John Gruden is no longer the Las Vegas Raiders head coach. According to multiple sources, emails that were of a homophobic and misogynistic nature surfaced to kind of bolster the effects of the previous email that had Gruden using a racist trope regarding NFLPA Executive Director Demora Smith. With that, and to talk about the firing, the mood, and the future of the Raiders immediately, FBC Raiders writer Grant Richards. Good evening, Grant. How are you?
I'm good, Terry. How are you?
Not bad, not bad, man. Well, so much to talk about. What was your first thought?
I mean, initially, like, with the first emails coming out, I think a lot of people were ready to turn a bit of a blind eye towards it. And so, I mean, I was kind of confused as to what was going on, if there was more. And obviously, we saw the night there was a lot more. And right off the rip, I was kind of like, it's probably for the best at this time. I mean, not only along with those emails was some disappointment amongst the team. I mean, it wasn't what we had expected when we brought him in, and that kind of expedited the process, in my opinion.
Now, the common thought is that these were old emails, but do you think it speaks to a larger problem with John Gruden as far as the ability to not control himself?
I think it does. I mean, that's obviously a professional email account affiliated with whether it was the NFL or the ESPN at the time of the sending. That's horribly unprofessional. And yes, it definitely shows that he gets fired up always and he can't really hold it off. Like just like you had said, I mean, it's I've never really heard anyone addressing it that way, and that's kind of very spot on.
Like, this is a grown man. This is, people want to say, well, 10 years ago, and they use the example of when somebody in their 20s, he was 48 when all this happened. When you see this, what are your thoughts about John Gruden, the person?
I mean, I think just from these emails, you kind of learn everything you need to know. He's got a lot of off beliefs that he hasn't really. Hang on, sorry. He kind of seems like a scumbag now. He just seems very unaccepting, unwilling to kind of believe in that. And I think we kind of saw that with his silence during the protests last year. There wasn't a lot of coaches made comments, and we didn't really get that until it was pushed out of him, it felt like just very late comment, kind of flat, didn't really actually say anything. I think that kind of plays a lot into why he was so quiet.
In a way, if you look at it, he fumbled the bag. Like, he literally had $100 million, like, in his pocket. And now, because you know there's probably a morals clause in that contract, where he stepped away from 8 figures. How? Just make it make sense. Like, what do you think goes through the mind of a bigot on somebody like this?
I think he's just incredibly ashamed right now. I mean, obviously regretful of sending those, or else he would still have this job. But I think mostly it's just shame. I don't know if he knew he was going to get fired and Mark Davis let him walk away. But, I mean, that's very, very tough to see.
Now, that is, for me, I look at it and I look at the future of the team as far as the immediate future. Who should be the interim head coach?
At the time, I mean, when it was announced, I kind of leaned Gus Bradley. I know he's on he's working defense, but I've always kind of praised his coaching style to be a little more advanced, but also understandable. And I don't know if he could make that work into a head coaching job, but I mean, this is essentially desperate times. So, I mean, desperate times, desperate measures. And I would have been interested to see how that would play out.
For me, it is. I honestly think that the team can operate with a little bit more freedom. You have a man who was in charge of everything. Now you get Mike Mayock, who actually gets to be the general manager. Like, Mayock was on record saying that John Gruden was in charge. Now Mike Mayock is next to the owner, the most powerful person in the organization. What do you think goes through Mike Mayock's mind now?
I mean, hopefully finding a full-time coach, whether it be interior or amongst the league. But I also think he gets to kind of show what he can do. He gets new life. He gets another chance without someone kind of pulling on the reins. He can go out to the job market and kind of say, hey, look, this is my team. You're here to coach what I put in front of you to whoever he may be hiring. I don't think Las Vegas is that terrible of a destination to be right now in the head coaching market. I think there's going to be some names being brought up. I already saw a tweet about Bieniemy, but I don't know. I think he's got a lot of work to do that he hasn't been doing because John Gruden was.
I'm excited that Mike Mayock probably now gets to, if he stays, which I think he will next year, he gets to draft who he wants now. Now, here's a question. What do you think Derek Carr's future is? He's looking down the barrel at a possible extension.
Right off the gun, like right off the rip, I think he gets talk down from a price he may be asking, and if that doesn't happen, then I think he might be gone. But he did kind of show his hand, saying he always wants to be a Las Vegas Raider, and like I believe he threatened retirement if he ever left. But I don't necessarily expect Mayock to take advantage of that, but I don't see it being an open and shut deal. I think there's some negotiations going forward.
I'm sure that whoever is the new head coach long term might want their own guy. And a name that I kind of looked at is Brian Daboll from the Bills. That's a guy who took a young quarterback named Josh Allen, and you see how Josh Allen is performing. Somebody like that. Somebody like an Eric Bieniemy from the Chiefs. Play caller of that offense. The Raiders need someone who is kind of inventive as a play caller and not rigid, where John Gruden liked what he liked and that was it. Now, what do you think the mood is like in that locker room now?
I had actually, that was kind of one of my first thoughts. I mean, kind of addressing Carl Nassib, who recently came out as gay. I think that's kind of something the team can kind of show, like, hey, we almost show sides, like show support, show like, hey, man, we're glad Gruden's out of here. I think it's a little bit of relief in that sense, where it's kind of like may or may not have known what his feelings were towards, I mean, everyone he disrespected in those emails. But now they realize that that bias isn't there anymore. Maybe there's someone, the head coach for them, that's a little more accepting or a lot more accepting. I just think it's relief in a sense.
No, I think the younger players, the guys like your Ruggses, Robertsons, they might be feeling a bit of freedom. They have a little air now. Because if you look at it, it took injury for Robertson to see the field, and he's been excelling. But Ruggs didn't see targets last year, and he just ran a bunch of cardio routes. How much pressure do you think this places on the Gruden loyalists as far as the coaches like your Tom Cable, your Rich Bisaccia, who apparently will become the interim head coach, guys like that?
I mean, I think it's kind of like a contract year for everybody right now. Like, new management, a lot of these guys, we have a very young team. A lot of these guys were brought in by Gruden, and yeah, they kind of have to perform like they're playing for their job now, because whoever comes in and starts making those decisions doesn't have to keep anybody. Obviously there's contracts and everything, but they don't have to keep you on the team. They can trade you in a heartbeat. If they weren't the guy they wanted, or if they just don't like the way you're performing, I obviously think you give them the rest of the season, hopefully into as much camp as you can before initial cuts. Like, I don't think you just come in and start clearing house, but I definitely think it's contract year for everybody.
Who's the one Gruden loyalist you think that will stay next year? Like, who will remain like a position coach?
I would probably lean along the lines of Tom Cable. I don't know how much attraction there is for him around the league, and I think he'd be happy to be accepted into a job next year.
What do you think? What's next for John Gruden, if you had to guess?
A nice, quiet life, maybe. I mean, I don't see him landing a job back at ESPN. Maybe something in like starting college. I don't really know. I don't know to what extent teams are going to take these emails. There could be someone that's just like, hey, he wants to be around football, and we need a head coach. And kind of like the Raiders, desperate times. And I could see him getting a job, but I'm not – this is the least certain I've ever been.
When did you learn about the fan base during this entire thing?
What did I learn about the fan base?
Yes. like you saw people defending, you saw people who held fast and not defending. What'd you learn?
Mostly that we are a pretty divided fan base. I was scrolling through the hashtag Raider Nation Twitter, and there was a lot of outcry about giving him another chance or the time between emails and now. And I mean, I think the time distance is such a weak argument. It was still said he's still a grown man, but then there's a lot of people as well, kind of glad, not necessarily voicing opinions, but just glad about it. Might have been because of his track record with the team. But I just think as a whole, it would have been an incredible distraction. And there's no real room for that either. But it's a very divided fan base right now. And whether they like it or not, he's no longer the coach. So I don't see people leaving the team because of this or leaving the fan base because of this.
I don't think they want to leave the fan base. I just think that people have decided to tell themselves. And that's just wild to me. What do you have working on FBC about the upcoming game this week and just your general thoughts about Gruden? What's on tap?
Definitely just kind of going from a blank slate was kind of my first thought when I was a lot of thoughts came through. But, we have the opportunity to mold into a different offense and kind of mix things up a little bit. I always felt like Gruden with a healthy Josh Jacobs kind of relied on the run a lot, and the NFL now is not a run-based league. So I think maybe we get a little more modern with the offensive play calling. That's kind of the thing I'm most excited about is I'm still not thrilled with our red zone offense. And that's been a problem for a while. So I would just be excited for what we can come up with. Maybe there's plays that, like, even the players like maybe Derek Carr has got something in his back pocket that for some reason never got used. I don't know. I think there's a lot that can be, this offense can be molded into.
How can people interact with you on social media?
I am typically at, for sports writing purposes, I am at Grant R. Richards, and for Raiders Live tweeting and just kind of mindless Raiders thoughts, I'm at Royal Oak Raider.
Grant Richards of FPC Raiders, thank you so much for joining us. This has been another episode of Full Press Raiders Podcast. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other.